start off by, I just want to share a few dates with you. I made a new PowerPoint slide and it's working okay. It's a bit maybe not, it's better now that since Reinald has helped it a bit on. But I want to share a little bit of vision this morning just about who we are here at Shofar Windhoek. Just about a few dates I want to talk a little bit about. And on that first slide, you will see Reinald when he shows it. Our vision as a church, as a movement, for those of you who haven't been to the Shofar International website, please go and have a look. You'll see everything about us, who we are, what we believe, our faith statement, all the ministries, where our head office is, what we believe in, all that type of things, and especially all the churches that has been planted over the past, say, 20 years. And the vision that we have as a church isn't one that we sat around the desk and thought this will be a good one. This is something that was really birthed in Pastor Fred and Lucille May's hearts more than 20 years ago, and it's also very biblical, I believe, and this is something this is who we want to be, okay? And it says, to reach the nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting, okay? So that is almost like the church in Acts. It reflects on Matthew 28, verse 19 or 18 to 20, where Jesus said we should go into all the earth and that we should proclaim the good news, that we should talk about it, that we should share on that we should preach it. And obviously, God in His wisdom, He created the body of Christ. That's why some guys can sing, some can preach, some are ushers. And it's great to have all of you guys here and to know that God has called each and every one of us for something specific. But just a little bit, I'll come back to that a little bit later. I want to share a few dates on the next slide. And that is just, I thought I'll share it. I'm not going to give it to the person that does the announcements. I just want to talk a little bit around that this morning. And I also want to invite you this morning to be part of that. I know many of you in the past year or two have been part of many of these events. And the first one, the church, our Shofar church in Swakopmund, please, if you're there for the weekend, go and pay a visit to them. They have a nice, friendly bunch of guys. They especially felt that their intercession, that God is calling us as a church to Angola. Now, that won't be the first Shofar missions or outreach. Thank you, Leanne, to Angola. Our teams have gone there before, not from Windhoek, but from South Africa. And there's an outreach scheduled from the 7th till the 14th of July. There will also, we had a scout team that visited the central north of Namibia in the past December holiday. I believe we're going to follow up on that. We're going to pack the church bus, get David to be our faithful bus driver again, and we're going to go there. And but before we just go, we definitely will have a bit more structure on that. But I want to encourage you, if you feel this year you want to put aside some time and go on a mission trip, this is a very good opportunity to go for a week and to go out, really to look away from your own interests. You know, many times it's very comfortable at home, in front of the TV and whatever, but when we go, you know, then we grow a lot. We see a lot of things happen. Thank you. Then we had who was part of the youth camp that was held in December. There's a few hands. Most of the youth aren't here yet. The school is only starting on next week. But I'm sure if you ask these young people, I think it was really a big blessing. David, I haven't said in the church from my side, but thanks once again for giving your farm to us for that weekend. And I feel in my heart at this stage, in whatever capacity it will be, that we will have a follow-up camp in May, in the school holiday, on that, because I just feel we can't lose momentum in this very special ministry. Then I know some of the women here attended the women's conference last year in Swakopmund. There will be one again from the 8th till the 9th of June in Swakopmund. I can really know that if you can, I would like to actually get a few testimonies on that. But I know the ladies that took part of that event last year, it was really amazing blessing. And please see if you can schedule that and maybe be part of that. Organize your away weekend for Swakopmund, that it is the same weekend in that. Men, you can maybe go and vang a gal juinkie of a kabeljou of sweets. Then, as we as a church, as Shofar International are growing, you know, it's always a privilege to have some of our headquarters members here, or Pastor Fred and Lucille, for them to come and preach. But with the last two church plants being Bloemfontein the end of last year in South Africa and Durban January this year, I think we're well past the 25 churches mark right now. So if you go and do the calculations, it's not possible for them anymore to preach at Stellenbosch, where they've got a big mandate, I believe, and to visit all the other churches. We only have 52 weekends in a year, and they also should have some leave. Okay, so what we're going to have, it will probably be June, July more or less, we're going to have in Namibia, but also in the other regions of Shofar where we have churches, we'll have a regional, let's say a conference, and it will be like a ministry weekend. Now we're still looking for a, if one of you own a lodge or something, yes, halfway between Windhoek and Swakopmund, please raise your hand right now. Don't keep it for yourself. But it will be something like a mini conference, you know, where there will be opportunity for a lot of vision sharing, ministry, praise and worship, workshop possibly. But they can't go from church to church. It's just one of those things we have to deal with at this stage. Then we attended the Shofar conference in Cape Town last year in Stellenbosch. Well, a few guys were there. I know there was about 15 people. It's a big mission to go down there, but I really enjoyed it so much, and I know it was really a big blessing. There will be another one. It's scheduled for the 27th till the 30th of September 2012. So really, if you are looking, I know Martha and some of the girls took an extra. Oh, Martha, she's here. Great. Now I can say it out loud. Extra luggage, or what do you call it, a bag, and you will be going shopping in Donny Cop, combine the two. It's really an awesome opportunity. I think we were about 1,500 people there, and it was just amazing to be in God's presence and to under a lot of anointed people's ministry. So if you can maybe go there, we'll talk about that still a lot this year, but see if you can make that. Then I would also like to announce we're going to have a Foundation 3 or a Legacy seminar at from it's going to be the 13th, 16th, and 17th of March this year. And I really, there's a lot of you guys that hasn't done it before. I've done it and I facilitated it quite a few times, and it's really a blessing, you know. I really want to encourage you. There will be a few opportunities for a foundation. This year we're going to do the foundations a bit different. We're going to do it on a Wednesday evening in small group time. And we're going to break it up between a session one and a session two over 2 weekends. In Shofar, we are renowned for change. And that means many times we see something don't work, then we change it. So I've noticed that Saturday mornings doesn't work very well for foundations. And so we're going to move it now. There will be two opportunities for a foundation, one and two, between now and March. So please see if you can do that. And also I want to encourage some of the older people who has done it before, for some facilitators. We're going to get some of the older people in Swakopmund also to come and help us. There's a few people that between me and Yaku we organized, and they will come and help to be facilitators. And it's really a wonderful opportunity to learn more. If you grew up in a bit of a fatherless environment, or you battle with this whole sonship thing, many times when I pray, I say, we are children of God, okay? And you battle with sonship, or divorce, or the role of mom or dad, or covenant family, forgiveness, the strong man principle, so much of those things. It's really things that can help us go forward, where we can receive healing and ministry and restoration, that we can really move forward. There's a lot of people, not just in church, but especially outside church, invite those people that we can allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us in that area. Amen. Who wants to do that? I see a few good people. Amen. Thank you. I'll keep on praying for the rest. Then, as was announced, Pastor Jacob van Rooyen, he's the pastor in Shofar Swakop since about May last year. And we allowed him some time to find his feet, him and Johanri, and their family, they will come and visit here, as I have visited there over the time, and he will be preaching here. So please, if you come and meet him, come and see what he's got on his heart for us. So I'm just inviting you to that. So that's a little bit just about big dates for the year, events that are scheduled. There will still be more of those, but please see if you can already start to pray around that. And maybe for the bigger ones, go to Swakopmund, maybe go to South Africa for one or two of those things. Many times when we put in that effort, I really know the fruits are very good. Now, especially in our church, You know, there's many, just quickly I want to invite you. There's the worship team, there's Kiddies Church, there's ushering, hospitality, intercession, there's youth. If you want to be part of ministry, you don't need the green theology. Many times we just need hands or people to help, people with a heart for serving. So I want to invite you guys. Many of you have been faithful servants over the years, and I really want to thank you for that. But if there's other guys, please come and speak to me or Skola, or after church or in the week or as time goes by. Please become part of a ministry. We do equipping through our foundations, missions, and especially Bible school. I also heard Aaron's putting a good word for Bible school. I did 2 years of Bible school, or 2.5 years of it, and it really was a big blessing to me. And we're going to do it a little bit in a different format. We will one Sunday specifically spend some time on that. But I really want to invite you guys to come to Bible school. Even if you miss a session here or there, we're going to make it a little bit smaller, and let's say a little bit more in bite size. I know many of you are mums and dads and are busy and working and all those things, life are fast, but please sign up for Bible school, even if you just do a few modules this year. It's the best place to grow in the Word, to learn to understand, but I'm going to leave more of that for future. Who of you have done Bible school in Shofar? It's almost half of you guys, that's wonderful. And I know that you guys will be testifying that it really is a blessing. So now it's the time where the pastor is going to start preaching. That was just a little bit sharing. I just would like to share a little bit of vision, who we are, what we do, what you can do. And I want to invite all of you guys to be part of the family, to be part of the fellowship. Then, as many of as you know, we've been looking for venues for a few reasons over the past few months, from the municipality to here and to there. So it's something, if you hear a rumor like that, yes, we are maybe moving. We trust that we'll have a venue, another venue in future. If you have any good suggestions, please come and speak to me. Yes, so let's trust for that. And I just want to, before I go on, there's a lot of you guys who weren't here last week, just recap a little bit on last week. The scripture I believe that God has given me for last week and that I'm continuing with this week in Genesis is from Genesis 18 verse 14, and it says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And then, "At the appointed time I will return to you by this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son." Okay? Now, I talked a little bit about the story of Abraham and God say he's going to bless him, and he's going to have a big inheritance through the nations. I'm going to go to that a little bit later. And it's really something that's in my heart this morning. Something I also would like to say in Shofar, you know, I believe we are a prophetic church. Okay, that is why when we have intercession, it's not just, it is also, but it's not just a place where we come and we pray for things. It's also a place where we come and listen. Okay, listen to where God wants to guide his church. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. Okay, and you are all clever guys here. And you know, it's not very difficult to go to Google and to Google a sermon, a great sermon, a sermon that someone awesome has preached. Okay, but it's really what we want to do in this church is preach where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Okay, and be obedient to that prophetic voice. Where many times someone come to me and they feel they had a dream or they have a word on their hearts, and that is important that we pray about it and see what God wants to tell us. Now, just a little bit about this story. I'm not going to unhaul alles, but the important thing was there when it was totally impossible. I think Abraham and Sarah were 90 and 100 years old, you know, then God came through. Then God came and he blessed them with their promised son. As I said last week, I believe it was maybe many days, it was a tough time for Abraham to believe, to hold on to this promise God has given him, and to see, but I'm getting older, and I don't have my son. Okay? And then eventually, as I said, when everything seemed impossible, then God came through. Because then God could have all the glory for that promised son that he gave Abraham. Okay? And then Isaac was born, and I believe it must have been a very special moment, like for many of us, that his parents, when a son or a daughter were born, and they really treasured that little boy. And I want to go on from there. But you know, I start, sit and ponder, and I think and meditated on this question again, is anything too hard for God? You know, and we see it here in Scripture, but I don't think God is asking this question. Firstly, because God doesn't know the answer, or even that Abraham doesn't know the answer to this question. I think God is asking Abraham this question because he wants him to think about it. Now, if I ask that question and I say, let's vote, who of you believe that everything is possible for God? I believe the majority of you guys would raise your hands. Okay? And many of us will say it from a place of experience or theology that we know or understand because we see it in Scripture, or maybe just because we feel it's the right thing to say. Okay? But do you believe it in your life? Do you believe it for your life? Do you believe it for your job, for your work, for your church? Okay? It's not as easy always just to say, yes, but of course God can do it. I think God wanted Abraham to think about this because it's something big. Okay? Now, while I was preparing, I thought of an example, and I hope I'm not stepping on toes here, but I believe I'm speaking to the married people right now. So, Marna, you're not allowed to listen yet. But I think there's a stage in every marriage that the lady, the wife, comes to the husband and say, do I look fat? Okay? And that's a very tender moment. Let me disciple you guys here that's not married yet. It's a very sensitive moment, okay? But I want to use it as a practical example. You know, when a lady asks that, I don't think she, all of us know if you gain 5 kg or 10, I gained a few after the twins' birth because I stopped exercising and stuff like that. It happens to all of us. But it's the wife aren't asking the husband. She knows if she picked up a few kgs, okay? But what she's asking is, I think, do I still look okay to you? Like ek nog reg vir jou, okay? Of course, maybe you gained a few kgs for whatever reason, okay? But it's, are you still okay with me? Do you still like me? Even the way I look. For us men, we don't ask that question. We just try to tie our shoelaces and then we feel something's wrong, okay? Anyone can relate to that? Okay, we had a few jokes in a few honest men, okay? We joked about in small group a while ago, and the guy said, no, if you want to tie your shoelaces and you can't breathe properly, you don't even have to ask that question, okay? But the thing is, God is asking this question here to Abraham. Is anything too hard for me? And as I said, I believe it's not, because not one of them know the answer. And this is something for us to think about as well. Okay, and then if we go a little bit on with the story in Genesis, okay, you will see that Abraham and Isaac did receive their son, and it must have been wonderful to them. But now another big thing is happening here in the life of Abraham, and I want you, it's not going to be on there, it's a bit long, I just want you to listen. If you have got your Bible, you can read with me from Genesis 22 verse 1. And I believe it's something that God wants us to listen to, and for us to really digest this. Okay, it's quite a long passage, but please sit back and just relax and listen to it. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. With him, so Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and the boy, and the boy and I will go over there and worship and come to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they both went together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abram called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to the day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." And the angel of the Lord called to Abram a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declared the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemy, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Okay, now this is theologically and dramatically possibly one of the most intense stories of the New Testament. Okay, those of you who have kids, I'm not even going to go into that detail because it's really hard. It's really hard for us to understand. Maybe you sit here and you think this morning, but maybe it's bad, God. How can you say something like that? Okay? But when we look from a human perspective, through a secular human perspective, from a liberal theology perspective, then God is wrong in this picture. But when we look through a biblical worldview, okay, then God is God. He's the ultimate. Okay? And just remember, there's a big difference between tempting and tested. Okay? God never tempts us. He never tempts us to sin. Okay? Amen. That's something we must know. God, you can never say, "Yes, but God has placed these circumstances here and then I sinned." You can never say that. That's unbiblical. It's bad theology. Please never think like that. Okay? But God can test us. You can go and read in Exodus, the nation of Israel, they were tested as well. Okay? Now, just to have this picture, Abraham received the son, I think that must be, remember Ishmael and Hagar, they moved out, so this was his only son. Isaac must be really special to him. And now God had Abraham trust that he was already righteous at that time, and now God is asking of him to offer Isaac as a burnt offering. Now that is really, I think, the most intense thing, the most challenging thing that God could ask of Abraham. Not to give all your sheep, all your money, or anything away, but your son, okay? And then we see here, I think Abraham must have thought after Isaac was born, like, okay, God, now I'm going to make progress. My offspring, Isaac, will have children. And in that, the promise you gave me that his great-grandchildren will be like as many as the sand on the seashore. But now God asks him this, and it's almost like taking a step back. Like moving backwards, and like, God, you're going to mess up your own promise. Okay? But God is in control. He knows better. I actually found something that I never knew before, and it's just the faith that Abram had. You know, the faith that he believed God was all the way in control of the situation. And why I'm saying that is we read in Hebrews 11, verse 17 to 19. It says, "By faith Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, 'Through Isaac shall your offspring be named.'" And here's the important part now in verse 19. "He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which figuratively speaking, he did receive him back." So Abraham actually went there and he believed that even if he were to sacrifice Isaac all the way, God would raise his son from the dead. God would give him back his son. Okay? And I believe in my heart, it was never God's intention for him to slaughter his son, to burn him there on a fire. I don't think and believe it was God's heart. But you know, many times we are tested in really difficult circumstances. You relate with me? Many times we have tough, tough circumstances. And I believe as Abram was walking there, 3 days' journey, it must have been a big fight inside of him. That echo that says, but God is in control. Nothing is too hard for God. On the one hand, and on the other side, like, what is God doing here? But that's a place of blind faith. We just trusted God, and as I, in my life, discovered here in Hebrews, he actually even believed that God could raise his son from the dead. And I think it might have happened, but obviously this is a narrative here from Genesis. It's our spiritual history, and God gave this for us for a reason, that we can learn from that, that we can understand from that. Okay? So, it's important. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit on obedience, you know, and in the beginning of December, I think we were very close to all of us going on holiday. I received the email from Pastor Lucille May, and she said to all the pastors, listen, we've got a feeling there will be an attack on the pastors and their family this holiday. And on the 24th, when I came here, after we were on my second cursus from Antibiotica, I watched there, and then on Facebook I see the conversation and all the list of pastors and the kids that were sick and had fever, and everyone saying, listen, we are suffering, and this and that is happening. And that's the prophetic voice I was talking about. And for us to be obedient to that, and to intercede for that, and to pray for that. Okay? And I think we underestimate it a lot. Those of you named Pastor Sias, he said he had a dream, and he feels there's a guy in Nigeria, he's cursing the church, etc., etc., but I think the situation are taken care of. I'm still here. Okay? Amen. But praise be to God. But you see, friends, the thing I want to say this morning is, many times, a lot of you responded last week, and in my heart, I did as well, to that promise of Isaac. And I said, come and speak to God about your Isaac. And then you get it, okay? And what do you do then? Be glad? Yes. Okay? But then God comes. And Abraham must have thought, maybe, okay, this is it. Now we can progress and proceed. And now God comes and he tests him in that specific thing. If he will still be obedient and still be obedient to God's voice. Okay? And I believe God is speaking to many of us this year and this morning about obedience in your life. And I'm going to ask you the question again later. In what area are God calling you to a place of obedience? Something that you know, you always have that feeling, that knock knock on the door. Maybe it's in terms of the gospel, maybe it's in terms of anything. You will know in your life where God is calling you to obedience. Now, I want to give you two examples in my own life. 2005. I was working, and then I felt it was kind of divine. I had an opportunity to go to another job that I considered to be a better job. The income or the salary would have been almost two times the one I had. Being a young man, that seemed like a Gil Vortel already, and you know, I went for the interview, and you know what, I actually got the job, and I was kind of chuffed. But when I prayed about it, I really felt very uncomfortable about this whole thing. It was in the heart of Cape Town, which I don't like. Okay, one of the other bad things was a very well-known strip club was just opposite the road, and I really didn't like that as well. But you know, I had this conviction in my heart that I shouldn't take this job. So I think I went there the Thursday, the Friday, didn't see sign a contract yet. And the Monday when I went there, lady, but this whole, that was a big weekend for me. Okay, I had to make a decision there. Okay, and I really just feel, no, don't take it. Now in the natural, it doesn't make sense. Okay, but I obeyed. And I won't forget that Monday, going the my spirit, what would have been a lady, going to her and just saying to her straightforward, listen, I believe I shouldn't take this job. And that was a poker face moment, a Kodak moment, because she just thought like, are you mad? Or why? And I tried to explain in a sentence or two, and she said, well, okay then. But, you know, I didn't have a reason, like, you don't pay me enough, it's too far, this or that or what. I just felt I shouldn't take it, okay? Went back to my own job, my current job, and I think it was, I can't remember, maybe a month. And then I got a raise, and my salary actually increased or doubled. And since that, God has blessed me for another 2 years at that same company. Okay? And that's something I want to testify on this morning, of being obedient to what God is calling you to. Okay? And it's not as easy as that always. So this might be a word for someone here this morning. It's not always easy to walk away from something that looks good and promising. Okay? But you're going to have to go and pray about it. And if you don't have peace about it, don't go there, don't take it, don't do it, or anything like that. second one, and that was a big one. Those of you who know me quite well, that was in 2007. Me and my dad in Maritza, we would have gone with a lot of family to Botswana, a place I really would like to go, on a 4x4 trip. That's nature, camping, all the stuff I like. And the car was actually booked that we were to rent because we didn't have a 4x4, lots of plans. But you know, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let go of me. I just couldn't take it anymore. And later I went to the family and to the everyone that was, and I said, I can't go. And I had to go on missions that year, 2007, to Nepal. Now, I refer a lot to that because it was so significant in my life. You know, and that was walking away from something that really would have been fun, would have been a blessing maybe, I would have enjoyed it and stuff. But you see, that mission trip, I grew more than 2 weeks. That wasn't the fasting part of 3 days. Then I maybe declined a bit, I don't know. Okay, but spiritually, I grew there more than in 20 sermons in church, or maybe even 30. Okay, and I believe once again, it was because of obedience. And it really was a tough one. Okay, so I really want to encourage you guys this morning. Okay, maybe you stand in faith for your Isaac, and maybe God will give it to you sooner or later. His ways is higher than our ways. He knows what is best. Okay, but God can come and test you in that. Okay, and I want to encourage you, pray about these type of things and ask God, must I do it? Must I go forth? Don't just blindly run into something. The wonderful thing I can tell you, if you make a mistake, God will give you another opportunity, because that is grace. I've missed some of those things in my life, but I really want to encourage you guys this morning. I feel this is what God has laid in my heart. I really feel it's for us as a church for now. Another example from Scripture, a very well-known one that many of you will know, 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen to the fat of rams." Saul was rejected as a king because he didn't obey. That's harsh. It's hard, okay? It's better to obey God's voice than anything else, okay? And especially for us as a church, I don't just want to move to another venue because maybe the toilets look better or this or that, okay? That will maybe be stupid of me, okay? That's why we pray about these type of things, okay? So, and I want to encourage you to do the same. The important part in that piece of scripture I read to you was in the last verse, verse 18. "And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." If you go and do Foundation 3, you'll see sometimes people are under a curse because of the parents' disobedience. Okay? If your parents were in a secret society or something, some of that can still have an effect on your life. Something that must be cut. How many times have we seen the example, dad is an alcoholist, okay? And the thing that you don't want to become is to be the same. And what does the young man become? The same thing. How does that work? Many times it works like that. Now that's the opposite of what we see in Scripture. Because of Abraham's obedience, the nations was blessed. And I wanna skip many, many centuries and generations and chapters here in Scripture and go all the way to Galatians. Maybe one of my favorite books in the New Testament. And I want to read a few scriptures to you, and then I want to end. I want to read from Galatians 3, verse 6. "Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness." Scripture says he was righteous because he believed in God. That's one thing I want to say to you. And the second is from verse 8. And the scripture, "Foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed." All the nations. Now, we represent a few nations here in a sense. I mean, before Tani Meriela went back to Kenya, I think we were from Zimbabwe and Kenya and Namibia and South Africa and quite a few different places. We are from many nations, speaking like that in the natural. Okay, so you can ask this morning, how am I blessed because of our great father Abram? Okay, let's go to Galatians 3 verse 14. "So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abram might come to the Gentiles, that's all of us sitting here, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Okay? That we can receive the Spirit through faith, just as well as he believed through faith in God. Then I'm going to read from verse 26 to 29. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians are speaking to believers here. And this is theologically very important. Because it means no matter where you come from, where you grow up, what surname you have, we are all the same in Jesus Christ. We are all exactly the same. And then in verse 29, and if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring. He is according to the promise. I want to read that last scripture in Afrikaans as well. Galatians 3 verse 29. En as julle aan Christus behoort, dan is julle die nageslag van Abraham en volgens die belofte erfgename. Do you see the integrity of scripture? From all the way from Genesis here to Galatians, okay, that promise came true. The author here, Paul of Galatians, he's saying to the people that's believing, you are sons of Abraham, you are blessed through him because of his obedience. Isn't that amazing? I think it's wow. I think it's really amazing to see how this works. Okay? And this morning, I wanna say it. I wanna preach it and say it. You must be obedient to what God is calling you now. Many times I'll tell people, and I wish I get more the opportunity more, if you are 16, don't try to be 21. There will be time for that. And then when you're a father of 32, don't try to be 21 as well. It's not going to work, okay? You're gonna miss something, okay? Now I confused myself. What did I want to say now? But that's why we have notes. And the thing, the really important thing I want to say to us this morning, and many of you might know it, some of you might hear it for the first time. This picture that I see here in Genesis reminds me a lot about the story of the gospel, about the father giving his son unconditionally, his one and only begotten son. We see in John 3 verse 16, that very well-known scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And that is so God. That is so biblical. That is so beautiful. You know, God doesn't come and tell you are a sinner, you are bad, you watch pornography, you sin, you are in lust. He doesn't do that. He's the physician. He come for the sick people, not for the healthy ones. And all of us were born sick people, if you understand what I say, sometime in our life. And somewhere, because none of us were born Christians, we should respond to that call of the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died for us. As Isaac has died. Okay? And I want to say to you as well this morning, sometimes, some of us need to put away and let something die as well. Maybe not a child, because I don't believe God is asking us this type of thing anymore in that sense, to offer a son. Okay, but God might be saying to you, let go of this thing for now. Many times when you let go of something, where you put it on the altar, okay, and you can put God first again, then he can make something happen in your life. That's something important I'm saying to you this morning. John 14 verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one's come to the Father except through me. Okay? All us Gentiles need to go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Okay? It's something really important. If you are believing Islam or New Age or Buddha, you're not going to make it. You're going to stand on the wrong side one day. There's only salvation in Jesus. And I want to ask you also this morning, as I said, I hope I haven't skipped, yes, I skipped it actually. In Matthew 16:15, Jesus was asking, just a scripture before, he was asking the disciples, who does the people say I am? Okay? And then in the next verse, he says, but who do you say I am? And I feel it's the same as almost God was asking Abraham, is anything too hard for God? Now Jesus healed the paralytics. He did a lot of miracles. And then he asked the disciples, who do you say I am? And then obviously Peter gave the right answer. And this morning, guys, who do you say Jesus is? Who is he to you? Okay? And that is where something like Bible school is important. I've heard people over the past year try and make their own doctrine. A little bit of scripture, a little bit of their own theology, and trying to work out the things. But you must let the scriptures provide your theology, what you believe, who Jesus is. And if I were to ask each and every one of you this morning, who is Jesus in your life? Okay? Then I will know exactly where you stand and from what place you live. Because nothing is too hard for God. And this morning, guys, the whole obedience thing, I really believe it's important. It's important that we get it right. Okay? And the God that we serve is the God that provided Isaac. He's the God that provided the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, okay, to Abraham. And he's also the God that gave Jesus Christ to us, okay, to believe in him, that we shouldn't perish in any way. Now this morning, just want you, if you can please close your eyes for one moment. The only reason I'm asking you to do that is just not to look at the person next to you or to think about what must still happen in the day. It's just for a moment of really introspect. So just look at the inside. And I want to ask you, church, this morning, where is God calling you to obedience in your life? Must you let go of something? Must you maybe sacrifice something? Is it something that you have been knowing for a while now that God wants you to do it, to stop do it, something like that? You will know. The Holy Spirit are ministering to us. You will know what that specific thing is. I've heard it so many times in the past 10 years that I've been part of this church. Pastor Lucille Maying, one of our senior pastors, say that many times people say they don't hear God's voice. Then I want to challenge you. Go back to the last place where God has called you to be obedient. Go back to the last place where God has called you to be obedient. If you haven't been obedient, go back to that place. Because I believe if Abraham didn't do what he did, God would have asked him again the same thing until he obeyed, because God wanted to test him. So if you feel this morning God is laying it on your heart and you feel like there's this something, then I want to encourage you this year to work that out. Pray with something. I'm going to give the opportunity just now in a while. I'm going to ask the praise and worship team, what are you guys, while all eyes are closed, you can come to the front. And I want to ask, respond to this call this morning. In your own heart, in your own time, while we are going to worshiping. And then on a more serious note, while all eyes are closed, if you really feel you battle, I'm not going to pray for anyone to be obedient, or I'm not going to pray for anyone who was disobedient. But I want to make an invitation. There will be facilitators here in the front. And if you want to pray with someone, if you want to agree with someone about what you need to do in terms of obedience, is there anyone like that here this morning? While all eyes are closed, you know you need to do a bit of business with God this morning. You know you need to talk to God about obedience in your life. Is there anyone like that here this morning? Can you please raise your hand while all eyes are closed? I just want to see to whom I'm speaking this morning. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. Okay. So, I'm gonna end off now. I'm going to pray. If there's any one of you that feel you want to pray with me or a facilitator from your side about obedience in your life, there will be someone to stand in agreement with you. And then lastly, if there's anyone here this morning, maybe you are visiting here for the first time and you're not sure, and you're not sure if that the way and the truth and the life, if you have gone that road through Jesus Christ to God, if you have ever responded to the gospel, if there's anyone here this morning, don't leave. You have an opportunity right now to respond to that call, to the gospel, to the good news. Father God, I want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we can be in your presence, in your house. Thank you for your wonderful word that we can see in 2 Timothy 3:16, that all scripture are inspired by you and is good for teaching and doctrine and correction. Thank you for this amazing connection between Hebrews and Genesis. Thank you, Lord, for Abraham that did obey, and that all of us can be blessed through his obedience, that we can be sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, of God. Thank you for your gospel, your word, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. And Father God, I pray for every person here this morning, Lord, that you have been speaking to, especially concerning obedience. Father, that you'll give them the strength, Lord, to walk up that mountain and do what they need to do. I really trust it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.